Well, good morning to you. It is a great pleasure to be with you again this morning. When I stand up here to share with you, I like to share some of my adventures. So I hope that's okay with you, because this week I have been all over the place. Last weekend I was hosting a conference in Manchester where people who are associated with Young Life from all over the country gathered together. The staff, the leaders, the committee, over 100 people got together in Manchester for this conference. And as I was hosting it, I had the occasion to have to introduce myself to people. And there were lots and lots of handshakes, and which was lovely. But what do you say when you introduce yourself? Well, I said, "Hi, my name is Elaine. This is my husband, Rich, and I work for Young Life in Hoddesdon." And that was about everything that anybody needed to know. But that isn't everything that I am. I'm also a daughter. I'm a sister. I'm an introvert. Now, some people debated that with me during the break, but I am, I tell you. I really am. And I love reading books. But again, that isn't everything about me. And this week I discovered two other things about myself. One of which is something that is hardly seen. But too little of it, and you notice. Too much of it, and it makes your food taste horrible. The other is seen and can chase away the dark. But too much of it might be blinding, whilst too little of it can make you feel unsafe. And I am, of course, talking about salt and light, our themes for this morning. And the thing that I discovered about this passage that we're going to look at is that each of these great images is introduced by two very small words. You are. And later I'm going to come back to why that is really significant. But for now, as we look at those images of salt and light and how they fit into this big topic that we've got this term of us being people of mission, I want you to have those two little words in your mind. You are. Okay? So I wanted to start by reminding us of who we are as Christians. And as I say these things, I want you to remember that these are said for you. These are true about you. You are a loved child of God. You are transformed from your old life and born into a new life with Christ. Jesus' death on the cross has made it possible for you to be free from the penalty of your sin and have a relationship with God. Because of Christ's sacrifice, you not only get to live in freedom from your sin, but you also get to share eternity with him. You can have joy, peace, strength, and love, all from God, who is the source. And because of all of this, our lives are different. We get to live a distinctive life following Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. And he has given us a mission to follow. He has commanded us to go, to make disciples of all nations, baptising them and teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded. Excuse me while I just have a drink. So as we look at this passage this morning, and if you haven't opened your Bibles to it yet, then let me encourage you to do so. We're in Matthew 5 at verses 13 to 16, and that is page 916 in the Pew Bibles. And as you do that, let me give you a little background. This comes in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And I want you to picture the scene. Here is Jesus, and he has been touring the country. An everywhere he goes, he speaks. And the things that he says, people want to hear. Excuse me, I'm struggling. So there are large crowds, and they come from all over Jerusalem and Judea and the surrounding areas. And as they come, they press in around Jesus, and the disciples are struggling to stay close to him because there are just crowds who want to hear from Jesus. So Jesus takes himself up the mountain a little way to give himself a natural platform from which to speak. And I just imagine the disciples, they're elbowing to get to the front because they want to hear what Jesus says. And this crowd has gathered. So at this pivotal point in history, Jesus speaks to the gathered community about the law that he has come to fulfill and the kingdom of God and what it means to follow him. The amazing thing that he does, even though he's speaking about these grand themes, these amazing truths, he uses stories and illustrations that everyone gathered would be able to relate to and understand. So when he says to the people, "You are the salt of the earth," they know exactly what he's talking about. Because they knew that salt was used as sacrifice. It was added to the grain offerings and the burnt offerings that were given to God. They also knew that salt was used in covenant. It was used in the promises made between God and man. So it meant relationship. And of course, salt was a very important preservative and a seasoning for food. But it was also a great commodity. Salt was used as money in many situations. Well, today, salt is cheap. And its most important use is as a seasoning in food. Now, I love to cook, and I don't mind telling you that I make a very mean potato and leek soup. It is gorgeous. So good, in fact, that my family come especially to eat my soup. It's good. But without any soup, without any salt, potato and leek soup is bland. It has virtually no flavour. But you add some salt and the flavour comes out and it is beautiful. So although we might not have the same meanings about salt as those first believers had, I still think this statement is really true for us as it was for them. Because when salt is added to food as a seasoning, it isn't big and it isn't bold, but it adds something special to it. It influences and enhances the flavour. It adds a quality that people want. So when Jesus tells his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth," he is telling them that their distinctive life will influence those around them, and their life will be attractive to those who see it. Yet Jesus also warns us that even though being salt of the earth is part of who we are as his followers, we can lose our flavour and our distinctiveness. Now, I don't know if you're a chemist. I'm certainly not, so you might be able to correct me on this, but I'm fairly certain that salt cannot lose its flavour. There is no chemical process that can take place that will make salt lose its flavour. However, if you add things to it, if over time it gets spread so much that it loses its flavour, if things are added, it will lose its function and be useless. So how about the second image that Jesus uses? In verse 14, he says, "You are the light of the world." And I'd never really thought about this until this week. But the primary function of light is not to be seen, but to see other things because of the light, to reveal things as they are. Now, that sounds really obvious, but I had never thought about it. I do not turn on a light to look at the light. I turn on a light to be able to read by it. Now, as I said, I've been all over the country this week. I was in Manchester at the weekend, and then in the middle of the week, I was in Crieff in Scotland, which was a beautiful place on a loch. I said lake earlier, and I got corrected. On a loch. It was absolutely gorgeous. Not a soul around, except for my small group of 20 or so of us who were there. And on Wednesday evening, we had some time of worship together, and they all started playing pool afterwards, and I thought, well, no, I'm going to go to bed. Except that my cabin was the furthest away. And I hadn't realised, but when we went in, it was quite light, I could see. But as I came out, it was pitch black. Seriously, we were in the middle of nowhere, so there were no street lights, there were no car lights. There was nothing except this road which I had to follow and a stream that ran alongside it and a forest on the other side. I got scared. Don't mind telling you. Even though I hadn't seen another soul except for my group all day, the thought of something lurking behind a tree waiting to jump out at me made me paranoid. And if I had more energy, I would have run all the way to my cabin. But as it was, I was thankful for my phone, which I pulled out of my pocket, and I have a torch on it. Now, it barely lights anything, but it was enough to show me where the road was so that I didn't fall into the stream and that I could reveal anyone who might be hiding behind a tree. So light is powerful. It is a guide to us. It exposes what is in the darkness. And light helps us to see things as they are. But Jesus takes his statement to another level by adding that a city on a hill cannot be hidden. In saying so, he is warning his followers that they will inevitably and unavoidably be seen by those around them. Jesus reveals that there is no such thing as a secret Christian. That to live a life following Christ is to be seen by others, and it is our role to shine a light to them. In these few verses, Jesus instructs his disciples in how to do mission, but his words are for us as well today. And they reveal what it means for us to be people of mission. These pictures that Jesus uses are at the core of who we are to be as his followers. Mission is as part of who we are as being salty is to salt. And shining is to light. Because for salt, saltiness is not optional. For followers of Christ, mission is not optional. It is part of who we are. I asked you to remember two little words this morning. You are. When Jesus said this, he wasn't talking to an individual, but to a whole community of disciples. Just as 2,000 years later, he is still speaking through Scripture to us. And Jesus says these words to you this morning. Not for you to try harder, to buck up your ideas and get with the program, because that is not necessary. Instead, Jesus says these words to you this morning so that you hear his words, so that you would believe and accept them as words that are for you, and for you to live out the reality of being a person of mission because you are a disciple of Jesus. Jesus says to you this morning, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. And we can take heart because God hasn't called us to do this alone. We are not individuals trying to live as salt and light in the world. We are a community of believers, a fellowship, a church. And together, God has called us to be missional people. And it is by his power, through us, that we can be salt and light in the world. As we live out our lives as disciples of Jesus, we will naturally be salt and light to those in our communities, our families, our workplaces, to those in our nation. Because for those of us who follow Jesus, we are living a transformed life. because of Christ. And it is a life that is distinctive. And that distinctive life looks very different to anyone who does not yet know Christ. It feels different. It tastes different. And not because we're bold or because we have the right things to say, because often we don't. And it's not because we have everything sorted in our lives, because often we don't. But we are distinctive because Christ lives in us. And because of that, we are able to be present in the lives of those around us and in our communities. Because we live in relationship with Christ, we will influence the lives of those around us. That is what it means to be the salt of the earth. And to be light to the world means that we shine to others with a light that is visible and attractive. And it consists of our good deeds to our neighbours. And it means that we pursue justice in our nation. That life is attractive to others. Your light will shine before others, maybe because you demonstrate a life of joy, even when you're struggling. Maybe because you have confidence in yourself, because you know you are loved by God. Maybe it's because you act justly or with kindness. Maybe because you are slow to anger. Maybe it's because you are loving and kind and you keep your promises. Now, I know that we don't do all those things all of the time. But those things are in us because we are followers of Christ and because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And people will see that light that we have because of Jesus, and they will be drawn to it. And that quality of that light means that we're not actually attracting people to ourselves, but to God himself, so that he is glorified. In just a moment, we're going to sing our final song of worship. But I want to challenge you with a question. Is your light on? The light that you have does not come from you. You can't generate your own light. Your light comes through Jesus Christ, and you reflect his light into the world. So when people are around you, do they see the light of Jesus in your life? Are they influenced by your saltiness? We have a world of people here in Hartford, in our families, our workplaces, in our nation, who do not know that Jesus died for them and that they are loved by God. So my question for you this morning is your light on? Will you be salt and light to those who do not yet know Jesus and help them to know him? Would you pray with me? Father God, I do thank you for your word. God, I thank you that you love us and that you sent Jesus to be our Savior and to guide us. Father God, I thank you that you do not do mission by yourself, but you invite us to be missional people for you. God, I thank you that inherent within us is the fact that we are salt and light in this world. And Father, I pray that you would help us to do that. Not necessarily to have the right words or to act in the right way, but to be salt and light by virtue of the fact that we are your followers. Lord God, through your Spirit in us, would you help our light shine into this world so that those of our neighbours and families, those in our communities would know you. Amen. Let me finish with the words that we have been considering this morning. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house in the same way. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen.